right. So we are on this theme of Jesus, that Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've talked about Jesus, how he's a builder, about how he is a human. And this morning I want to talk to you. I already told you about a flock. So today is Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And where do we get that from? The most famous verse that I want to refer to is from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. And we can read this. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I want us this morning to chew on those words when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I think there's things that God wants to say to us where that can just maybe kind of go through our mind really quick. I am the good shepherd. What does that mean? And I want us to leave here this morning having those words mean something to you. That Jesus is saying that afresh and anew. He's the same yesterday. He said that 2,000 years ago. I believe Jesus is saying that to some of us specifically this morning for a reason. Today, he's saying, I am your good shepherd. I know you. I know my sheep. And my sheep, they know me. They can hear my voice. They can learn to know who I am. There's this relationship going on. And so I want us to maybe look at that last verse in a couple of different translations. We just read that in the New King James. But John 10, verse 14, the very last verse, it says this. We just read it in New King James. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. In the Message, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Not a whole lot of difference. But it's the same. It's saying they know me. I know them. There's this relationship. And then the last one, TPT, the Passion Translation. It's a newer one. I alone am the good shepherd, and I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. They recognize me and know me. He knows whose hearts are his. He knows how much of your heart is really his. He sees all these things as the shepherd. And I love that last translation because he says, I alone am the good shepherd. And there's some things I want to highlight to you. And that even that phrase, I am the good shepherd, I want to break it down. Sometimes I love that Pastor Greg, he shares that sometimes he'll take a book of the Bible and he'll read it over and over and over again for a whole month or even a whole year or multiple years. He'll just keep reading that same book over and over again because there's more to get out of it. Sometimes I do the same thing. I'll read a verse and I've heard that verse all my life. I'm like, oh, it's a good one. I like it. But sometimes I have to break it down and chew on it a little bit more. What does that mean? And so I want us to look at it even word or phrase by phrase. I am the good shepherd. This word, I am. Jesus makes several I am statements. There's seven of them that he makes in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the good shepherd. That's one of them, right? He says it several different times. And the one I want to highlight to you, there's a couple, but it's in this verse in John 8, 56 through 58. Jesus is talking to a group of people, to his disciples, but also to Pharisees, just a whole crowd. And this is what Jesus says. Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people around Jesus heard him say this, and they said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Some of you that have grown up in the church, you know that that statement is very significant. Jesus saying, I am. Because this word, I am, after he said this, first they were confused. What? He's crazy. You don't know Abraham. He existed 1,000 years before you, Jesus. How do you say you know Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. But then when he said, before even Abraham was even born, I am. You know what all those religious leaders did? They picked up stones. And it says they were ready to stone him to death. Wait, why were they? Wait, just a second ago, they were like kind of laughing at him. And now they're furious, angry, ready to stone him. And I love that. It says that Jesus, as they're picking up the stones, they're ready to stone him. It says Jesus just walked him right between them and they didn't even know where he went. He's like disappeared. He's a ninja. I love that. I should make that one of my... Jesus is a ninja. He can just like poof, throw that little cloud and he just disappears. But he actually, if you read the Gospels, he does it several times. There's several times where people are angry and ready to throw him off a cliff or throw stones at him and it just says, oh, and then all of a sudden he was gone. They didn't recognize him. He just walked between them all. Where'd Jesus go? He's right in front of them. They didn't see him. And so he has this ability to do this. And I love that. But Jesus, why are they so offended? Sunday school trivia. Who here knows the very, very first time God ever refers to himself as I am? Moses. You got it. Exodus chapter 3. Where's Moses at in Exodus chapter 3 and he hears these words? The wilderness, the burning bush. So you have, if you don't know history, really quick, you have Genesis, in the beginning, God, Elohim. There's all these words for God. And then you have Abraham, who he's talking about, is the very beginning, is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then lots of hundreds and hundreds of years later, Moses comes on the scene. And Moses is at this burning bush, and he has an encounter with God. And God's saying, all right, Moses, I want you to go get the Israelites that are in captivity in Egypt. I want you to take them out and tell Egypt, let my people go. You guys know this story, right? And so Moses is like, all right, well, which God? Who am I telling them is saying who sent me? Because back then, they'd been growing up in Egypt for hundreds of years. There's thousands of gods, the sun god, the moon god, this god. There's billions of gods. And so he's like, who do I say you are? What's your name? Who are you? And God in the burning bush says, I am. Meaning I was, I am, and I will be. It's all three tenses. It's I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac. They are still living. They're in my presence, and I'm their God right now. I am the God of this. I will be your God. I will be your deliverer. I don't ever change, right? We just read that Hebrews. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the great I am. For those who somehow aren't Christians, they say, well, Jesus never says he's actually God. Clearly, they're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Because Jesus over and over again says, he has no problem saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm right here, this is what we just read. He's saying, I am. Everyone around there understood. He's saying he's God. That's why they picked up rocks to stone him. Jesus is saying he's God. Are you crazy? But see, these I am statements, they're important. Really quick, just for fun, I'll throw in another I am statement. The very last time Jesus says, I am. And before I tell you which one this is, does anyone watch football? I do. Does anybody know? He's not my favorite player, nor is he on my favorite team, but he's an incredible athlete and he's fun to watch. Does anybody know who Cam Newton is? Carolina Panthers? All right. Does anybody know what he does after he scores a touchdown? He does this. Anybody have any idea what that means? Superman, like Clark Kent had a button-up shirt and he had opened it up and there's a big old S underneath. That's what Cam Newton would always do, right? He'd always, wow, Superman, I got into the end zone. You know, he's showing off who he is. Jesus, he doesn't really show off a whole lot. But the very last time he says this I am statement, there's a little bit of him showing off. And I love it. I love it. Because he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be hung on a cross. And he has all power. He can do whatever he wants. He can send angels to come destroy everybody. But he chose to give up his life. They didn't take his life from him. He gave it up, right? He has this meekness. Everyone knows the difference between weakness, meekness. Meekness is you have all this power, but you have it under control. And so Jesus, he's the God of the universe. He's the great I am. But he was under control. And so, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. I'm giving you more history you probably care about. But as he's praying, Jewish people, they wear prayer shawls, right? So you have a head covering. And all of his disciples, they're praying too, right? They fell asleep, but they're praying. Their heads are covered. Everyone's covered. And so in the middle of the night, this mob comes to find Jesus with Judas Iscariot, right? Who's going to pick him out. And so Jesus sees the mob coming. He comes, he addresses them. He says, hey, who are you guys looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Are you him? And what does Jesus say? It's a little bit like Cam Newton. He says, I am. And when he says that word, I am, what happens? This mob of soldiers, swords, clubs, everything, boom, they all fall to the floor, all fall backwards. It's like this shockwave, this supernatural shockwave as Jesus says, I am. He's a little bit showing off. He's, I'm the great I am. That's who I am. And everyone falls, and we know that one day when Jesus returns, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess Jesus, the Son of Nazareth, the Son of God, the son of Mary and Joseph, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God Almighty. So this is important when I'm saying this. When Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, there's a lot of emphasis on this I am. He's not just saying, oh, no big deal. I want you to hear the gravity of this statement this morning that Jesus is saying to you, I am. Maybe some of you have those same questions that you go through life and maybe there's something going on and things are chaotic and things seem out of control and you're saying, who's in charge here? Like, what's going on in the universe that all these things are happening? Who's in charge? Do you hear Jesus this morning saying, I am. I'm on the throne. I'm in control. It may not seem like it, but I am. In the midst of your problem that you're going through today, your situations where you feel like maybe a lot of people don't care, is anybody willing to help me? Jesus is telling you this morning, I am. See, this I am statement is powerful because it's not just to everybody. He's saying it to you today. Just like he said it 2,000 years ago, he's saying it here, right now, from my mouth to your ears. Jesus is saying, I am. I'm all that you need. Anything you need, I am. It's important, and I could preach on this all day long, but we got to keep going. I am, and then the next phrase is the. You're really going to preach on the, Pastor? Yes, I am the good shepherd. Jesus didn't say I am a good shepherd. He says I'm the good shepherd. He didn't say I'm like a shepherd, because Jesus gave lots of parables, lots of analogies. The kingdom of God is like. He said this a lot, like. But this time he's not saying I'm like a shepherd. He says I am the good shepherd. There's nobody else like me. There's nobody else that shepherds just like me. And can I tell you, even as your pastor, even as a shepherd, right? The Greek, do I have that up there? No, that's later on. We'll get there. But the, I think of a whole bunch of other the statements, right? I have it up there in John. He says this. Here's another I am statement. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's a lot of people, again, that aren't Christians that would say, well, you know, there's really probably one God and there's all these different religions or different paths and different ways to get to God. And Jesus has no problem saying, no, I'm the way. I'm the truth. All truth is my truth. There's no truth that exists outside of God. And I've heard other pastors say this, and they get in trouble, that you know what? There can be some truth from Gandhi, from these other different people that aren't Christians. And you know what? They get in trouble. But you know what? Any truth that any other human being ever speaks, if it's actually really truth, it came from Jesus. Because he's saying, I am the truth. I'm not saying that Gandhi can lead you to God. Clearly Jesus says that. I'm the only way. I'm the only way you're going to find real life. But all truth is God's truth. And I have no problem, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I have no problem talking to someone who is a Hindu and saying, you know what, man, you guys do this really well. You know, in fact, Hindus, they do this better than Christians. I have no problem saying that because there's truth that exists in the world and every truth is God's truth. Again, I'm not saying all these paths lead to God. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus says, I am the truth. But are we willing to recognize truth wherever we see it? That I see it in movies I see, secular music. I'm like, oh man, that is God's truth right there. Come out of this foul-mouthed rapper. That's God's truth right there. I can see it. I recognize it. Just like my shepherd. I know my shepherd. I know his truth, and I see it in other places in life. And that's why I encourage you, begin to see God's truth. Yes, this is the ultimate way to find his truth. This is the best source. This is all truth. Nothing in here is not true. But there's things that are in the world that you can find and say, man, that came from God. That's God's truth right there. And bring it back to God. So again, the tangent. But Jesus is saying the. I'm the good shepherd. That's who I am. It's important that we see that. He's not just a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Next word, I am the good shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And this word good in Greek is kalos, meaning beautiful, pleasing, acceptable, excellent, attractive, honest. And this is, I think, where I was kind of going when I first started about, can you taste and see that the Lord is good? There's something about God's goodness that is attractive. That Jesus, he attracted everybody. He attracted the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the worst sinners. He attracted the Pharisees, the prideful. He was attractive. It says that his physical appearance probably wasn't that attractive. He was just like a common man. But there was something about him that he was so good and so kind. It talks about this in Scripture. It says that his goodness and his kindness, it leads us towards repentance. It's not just God's awesomeness, his authority and his power and his holiness that causes me to repent. That's true too, but there's something about his kindness, his gentleness, his compassion, his concern for me, that when I receive that, when I feel God's goodness over my life, it leads me back to a place of repentance. That tasted good for a moment. I don't want that. Jesus, you taste so much better. I'd rather let go of that. And I can't help but think, this thought came to mind a couple times during worship. that even Adam and Eve, right, the very, very first sin, the very first temptation recorded, is that the devil say, man, look at this fruit. And Eve said, yeah, it does look good. It looks good for the taste. It looks good to make me wise. It looks good. There's things that might appear good, but he alone is the source of good. And there's things that I, and maybe some of you in this room, you've gone after things that look good. And maybe they tasted good at first. But I'm telling you, Jesus will never let you down. He never has a bad aftertaste. Jesus is always good. And I compel you this morning, would you just taste, just try him and see how good he really is. And I love this verse, Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you. We say this sometimes often here at church that God is good all the time. God is good. And I want us to get that. That's something that's just ingrained in me as a human being, as a child of God, as your pastor. I probably refer to this more than anything, that I want us to see how good God is. Even when you're in jail, like Paul, and you can say, rejoice not always, that can you find God's goodness? There's going to be circumstances, there's going to be your flesh, your own way of thinking, the enemy. All these things are trying to tell you that God isn't as good as he says he is. Can I tell you that God's goodness can never be exaggerated? As good as I can try to tell you how good God is right now, he's way better than that. He's so good. Would you let his goodness astound you and amaze you? I get emotional probably over this more than lots of things, but when I just think about how good God is in my life, he's so good to me. He's so good to me. I get undone. I get overwhelmed. I become weepy. But I think about Isaiah. I know when Isaiah got to go into the throne room and see God and he saw his holiness and he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. God's holiness caused him to see that I don't belong here. And he was undone in God's holiness. I don't ever want to let go of that. I want to be undone with the beauty and the holiness of God. That he's all powerful. But at the same time, we've been learning that Jesus says, but I, as a human, I came and I'm the perfect high priest. And he says, come boldly, enter the throne of grace because I'm good. That his goodness, I want his goodness to overwhelm me just as much as his holiness and his majesty and his glory. I want his goodness to overwhelm you. That it's hard to fathom how good he really is. That he really is for you, not against you. That in every moment, in every single second, he is so good. Circumstances, emotions, things might tell us otherwise, but the truth is, he is good. Always. He's good. He's the good shepherd. He declares it to you this morning. Would you be amazed? And then finally, we're getting to this thing. I am the good shepherd. Finally, we're getting to my message. Shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Shepherd in Greek is poimen, or in Latin, pastor. That's what we know, right? Or it was, you know, in the Spanish language, pastor. What's the person who leads a church? Pastor. Who's the person that works out in the fields with the sheep? Pastor. It's the same word, right? They don't have two different words like we do, shepherd and pastor. It's all the same. And so that's how the Bible is written in this context, that pastors are shepherds, that Jesus is the good pastor. Jesus is your good pastor. And I love that, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I love that he says that. As I said, he's the pastor. I'm a pastor. He's the pastor. That in this world, man's going to let you down. I'm not perfect. Praise God, he is. That I want to be a resource to you. I want to help guide you into truth. I want to help you in different ways as a pastor. But at some point, I can't be every single one of your personal pastors. Jesus is your personal pastor. If you want to know what you're supposed to do in life, you want to know what decision to make, hopefully I can bring some wisdom and insight if you come to me. But ultimately, Jesus is your pastor. He's the pastor. I can't do what he can do. Anything that I say that's good actually comes from him anyways, right? Anything good in me is Jesus anyways. So I just want to, to me, I find so much comfort in that. Whew. I'm a pastor, but I ain't the pastor. The buck stops with him, not with me. That's reassuring for me. He's the pastor. And I that definition of a pastor is one who feeds sheep, a protector, a ruler of a flock. And to me, those are the three points I want to hit on this morning. That as Jesus, as declaring, I am the good shepherd, he's saying that I am Jesus. I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who protects. And I'm the one who promises blessings over your life as a shepherd. And so I want us to look at these. But if you're like me, but I love stuff like that. I love little trivia. And I love Israel. I love the land of Israel. As I shared with you, I was there for 6 months. I would love to go back. I'm hoping and planning that someday we'll take a church trip to Israel. Because for those types of reasons, it opens up the scriptures. It helps you understand what Jesus is talking about. There's so many times that I read scripture, I'm like, what is going on here? What is Jesus saying? What does this really mean? And I love having that context. And so this morning, as we're looking at shepherd, I thought that was important for you to understand these I am statements. He says, I am the door, right? I am the way, the truth, the life. He says, I am the shepherd. It makes sense when you have some of that connotation that we as sheep have all gone astray, scripture declares. But as a good shepherd, he knows how to take care of us. And it says that he lays down his life for us. And so, in fact, we could read that. Let's do it. Let's just read Psalm chapter 23, which you guys have probably read a zillion times. Some of you might even have memorized. But if you don't, if you want to anyways, grab a Bible in front of me, open up the app on your phone. Psalm chapter 23, because these are really the pivotal chapters or statements in the whole Bible talking about a shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus talks about shepherd a whole lot. And then Psalm 23 gives us a great description, and that's where we're actually going to camp on for the next couple minutes about my 3 points. So Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 is actually my first point. He provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's providing. We're going to stop there. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we'll stop in chunks. To highlight these 3 points. So the first one is he provides. He provides by, I highlighted it for you, straight from Scripture. He provides by, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. To me, get practical again, as we just saw that video. Can you envision a real shepherd with a real sheep out in a green pasture, and the shepherd is trying to make the sheep lie down, and the sheep is stubborn and not wanting to? I mean, who here's ever tried to teach a dog how to sit? Sometimes you're pushing on the, like, sit down, and they don't want to, man. They got their legs stiff, and they're trying to move their butt around, and they don't want you to push them down. Can you picture a shepherd trying to make a sheep lay down, and the sheep doesn't want to? I know lots of times we read about how, or you hear this, that God's a gentleman. He won't make anybody do anything they don't want to. I get where that's coming from. We all have a free will. He's not going to make us choose him. But if you've already chosen him to be your Lord and Savior, guess what? He makes you do things all the time. If you really know your shepherd like I know my Jesus shepherd, he makes me do things I don't want to sometimes. And as we just pictured that sheep being stubborn and a shepherd trying to push him down and not wanting to, do you think you have ever been a stubborn sheep? Do you think Jesus, as the shepherd, knows what is best for you? He knows that you need some rest. He knows that you need to lay down and recover, and stop, and be still. And I don't feel like it. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Doesn't sound interesting. But like a good shepherd, he'll do whatever it takes to make us lie down in the green pastures. At some point, if you just want to keep being busy and be busy and doing the other things and not listening to him, he'll say, all right, then I got to use more force. I'll allow these things to overwhelm you, to begin to crush you. And then you're saying, I need help. Okay, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But I'd much rather be a submissive sheep than if God says, Ryan, it's time to stop. Stop. All your to-do lists, stop. Just spend some time with me. He makes me lie down because he provides. He knows what I really need. I think this is what I need to do, but he knows. He's a good shepherd. He knows what I really need. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. He provides by making you do things you don't want to because he knows this is best for you. He leads. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads. He provides by bringing leadership, by bringing direction, purpose, and meaning. There's times in my life where I feel like I've lost my purpose, or I feel like, God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What's the vision? I don't know. Praise God, He is my provision. As my good shepherd, He leads. Not only does He make me do things, He leads me. He guides me into all truth. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He knows how to lead me by still waters. He knows how to lead me in paths of righteousness. When I don't know, there's often times I can look back in my life several times where I had options and they both look good. I didn't know which one. I could give you lots of reasoning, all logic. I could not figure out what to do. Praise God, He is my shepherd. He leads me. He leads me. Sometimes I wish He just would tell me. Just tell me what to do. But see, He desires intimacy. Sometimes He doesn't want to just blurt out the answer. He's saying, Ryan, come spend some more time with me. I'll lead you, but come closer. And this is me in my relationship with God. Maybe He doesn't do this to you, but sometimes I feel like He does do that. He says, come here. And I feel like I took a step closer. And to me, I'm just being real. Sometimes I feel like Jesus took a step back. Ah, Jesus, I'm trying to get closer. And He's like, I know, but how bad do you want me? Keep coming. Keep coming. And it's a good thing for me. And I don't want to twist scripture. He says that God promises that if you draw near to me, He will draw near to you. So I'm not trying to twist scripture, but I just know my relationship with Jesus. He cares more about my intimacy than He does about giving me an answer. And sometimes I get so frustrated. Jesus, give me the answer. And He's like, just come be with me. Just come be with me. All right. You are more important than the answer. He leads me. He knows what's best for me. He's a good shepherd. He leads me. And then what's the last one? He restores my soul. He restores me. He knows. He knows what's lacking. He knows where I'm anxious. He knows where I'm frustrated. He knows where I'm weary and I'm tired. He knows what it's like to be a human and be spent. He alone restores my soul. He's a good shepherd. He restores my soul. All right, we'll keep going. So for the next one, He provides, He protects. The next few verses, Psalm 23, 4 through 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. What's going on here? Jesus is saying that He protects, meaning that He doesn't just deliver us and take us to those green pastures and remove us from our battles. Sometimes He protects us by being simply with us in the battle. We say, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. And as a good shepherd, He says, no, actually, we need to walk through this valley, the shadow of death. But you don't have to fear because I'm with you. I promise I'll protect you because I'm with you. Everywhere you go, even if you decide to walk in the wrong direction, Jesus doesn't say, I'll leave you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even if you went in the valley where you weren't supposed to go, I'll go with you into that valley. He's a good shepherd. This shepherd, I'll be honest with you, there's been times where I'll be honest, there's been times, people even in this flock, where in a moment I said, God, I'm done with them. I don't want to walk with them where they're going right now. I don't feel like chasing after them right now. And in that moment, I wasn't a good shepherd. But praise God, He's the good shepherd. He'll never leave you. I might forsake you. I'm just being honest and real. I'm a human being. I might let you down. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. Whatever battles you don't even belong to be in, He'll be with you. He'll protect you. It's part of His protection. He's with you in the battle. And He'll bless you in the battle. What does it say? That You're with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I know you heard John Bills last Sunday saying that staff, He uses it to tap them, to get them out of danger. He doesn't whack the sheep with it. It's to bless them, to help them. Say, no, stay over here. This is where you should be. There's these things that He's blessed you, that He prepares a table before you, for you in the presence of your enemy. Then in the midst of your battle, He's trying to bless you. Yeah, you're in this battle. We got some more time to spend in this battle, but guess what? I'm going to bless you in the middle of it. I'm going to protect you. I'm with you. He's with us in the battle, and He's blessing us in the battle, He's protecting us, and He restores us in the battle, right? He says this, You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. This picture, I know there's so much I could preach on right now, but even this picture of you being in the middle of a battle, he's saying that in the midst of that battle, you can be refreshed. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can be more than a conqueror. You can be super victorious in the middle of a battle that, man, just seems too difficult. Because he's with you. Because he's the good shepherd. He supplies all that you need. He's protecting you. He's for you, not against you. All right, let's keep going. So he protects, he provides, he protects, and then he promises. The very last verse, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lots of things going through my head right now, but this idea, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Another translation for follow me, and some would argue that it could be a better translation than follow, is chase after. Surely, God's goodness is chasing after you every day of your life. That there might be times where you don't feel God's goodness. For some of you, maybe you just need to stop running. He's chasing after you. His goodness and his mercy, it keeps pursuing you. And like, I don't feel it because you're running in the wrong direction. Oh, where are you, God? I don't see you. Where are you? Stop. It's chasing you. As soon as you stop, it's right there. You hear Pastor Greg talking about it all the time. That God is a God who pursues you. He's a pursuing God. He's chasing after you. We sing this song often here. Some I've heard that don't even like this song. I like it. He leaves the 99 and comes after the one. As a good shepherd, as you saw that analogy, a good shepherd, he lays down his life at the gate so the wolf can't come and attack the sheep. He's a good shepherd. But then there's times where the shepherd, he says, you know what? These 99, I'm coming after the one. And I'll just be honest with you, when I first heard that, I grew up in the church, so I always kind of viewed myself as one of the 99. Why, he's going to leave me? The reality is no. Every single one of you in this room, including me, we're the one. You've heard me say on the pulpit, I'm God's favorite. Is that because I'm saying, nanny, nanny, I'm God's favorite? No, I'm telling you, you're his favorite. But see, I know my Jesus, he's my good shepherd, and he tells me I'm his favorite. If you know your shepherd, he's going to be telling you, man, you're my favorite. How is that possible? I don't know, he's God. He's got lots of favorites. How can he leave 99 and come after the one? And we're all his one. It doesn't make sense logically. Guess what? It doesn't have to be logical. He's God. You're the one. He's chasing after you. All right. Let me use this as an analogy maybe. There's things I can be saying even as a pastor up here where I can say things that are encouraging. I can say things that are trying to bless you or help you or good words. And it's received in at some level good because I'm your pastor and it's coming across well. But there's something different if I were to leave the 99 and pick one. Kim, stand up. Sorry, picking on you. Kim, I've left the 99. I'm talking to you. As your pastor, can I tell you that I'm proud of you? You are a good mom. You are growing in the Lord. I know you're not perfect, and I think often you look at your imperfections. But can I tell you, when I see you, I see so much health. I see growth. I see a woman of God. I'm proud to be your pastor. I enjoy being your pastor. I feel honor. I feel respect from you. I'm well pleased with you. Do you see the difference between leaving the 99 and talking to one? There's something different. When Jesus leaves, God so loved the world. And when you encounter his goodness one-on-one. And that's what I want for everyone in this room. I want you to know my Jesus like I know my Jesus. He's a good shepherd. He's so good. I'm overwhelmed and undone with his goodness towards me. And I want you to experience and encounter the same thing. He's such a good shepherd. And I was trying to figure out how to close this, and I, to be honest with you, I feel like often when I close messages, it's always such a serious or emotional tone, and sometimes I feel in my flesh, does it always have to be that way, God? But I guess for me, it needs to be real. That's who I am. I can't just leave a message and just be chipper and just kind of make everyone leave and forget what we're saying. I got you to understand. I used this analogy when I was a youth pastor. The video clip of the Toy Story when Woody's talking to Buzz Lightyear. And Woody's telling Buzz Lightyear, do you understand? You're just a toy. That's who you are. Buzz Lightyear thinks he's the space cadet saving the whole world. And Woody's like shaking him. He's like, you are a toy. Trying to get it through his thick skull. There's sometimes I feel like I'm the same thing up here. I feel like I'm trying to shake you, say, do you understand how good God is? He is so for you. As much as I feel his love and his affection, I'm his favorite, he says the same thing over every single one of you. He is so for you. He's the good shepherd. And as we close the service, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because I think maybe most of this room, well, all of us in this room, we need a good shepherd. And we need those things. We need his protection. We need his provision. We need his promises over our lives. I didn't even get into all of that, but I felt like I had to go there. But for someone in this room, this message was not just, there's things in here that's for everybody, but there's something for someone in this room where you need to have a relationship with the shepherd. Not like the 99, but like the one.